If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, welcome back live from Las Vegas. Wes Reynolds, Matt Eumanns, VSiN tonight. Final hour of the big show, and we're going to talk NFL, golf betting, baseball betting, and let's start with the Las Vegas Raiders. Josh McDaniels, second-year coach, met with the media this week and talked about the new quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, who's just had foot surgery, and some of the mysteries surrounding Jimmy G and his health going into the 2023 season. And Wes Reynolds, when you look ahead at the Raiders' schedule, which is not an easy one, got a lot of really intriguing games on it in terms of the home schedule this year. If Jimmy Garoppolo can't start, let's say, the majority of the games for the Raiders, they could be in big trouble. And let's listen to Josh McDaniels talk about Jimmy G and whether or not he's got anxiety about the starting quarterback situation as Jimmy G comes down from San Francisco to rejoin with Josh McDaniels. What they hope is going to be a successful second season for McDaniels after the Raiders bombed out and went 6-11 in 2022.
I have no anxiety.
Right. Okay. There you go.
You guys might have anxiety.
Is there?
I don't have any anxiety. Again, we can't control. You know, this is football. You know, and there's definitely going to be players that miss time. And I mean, just Josh Jacobs wasn't able to do a whole lot last year either. And a decent year, you know, so again, I just, I don't want to overstate any of that stuff. You know what I mean? The relationships, the trust, the communication, the rapport, all that stuff's being built, you know, he's here every day, obviously. And the guys are getting to know each other, which is a great thing. I don't want to overstate or understate the importance of OTAs or anything like that. It's an important time of the year, but there's also a lot of players that can't participate in it. And again, remember, it's voluntary. So there's players that aren't participating in it, you know, across the league. So that doesn't mean that, oh, well, this year's going to be bad for him and not good for him and all the rest of it. So, like I said, I have no anxiety about it. I'm excited that he's here, really excited that he's here, and looking forward to it when he's out there. I don't worry about the things I can't control.
All right, so wanted you to hear it from Josh McDaniels' mouth. He has no anxiety, Wes. He's not worried about it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the quarterback when the Raiders open the season. DraftKings has up win totals for the Raiders, and you have alternate win totals you can bet too. Let's take a look at these numbers. 3.5 wins. If you want to say, oh, yeah, the Raiders get over that, no problem. You got to lay 1,600, minus 1,600. Over 5.5 wins, minus 215. Over 7.5, plus 155. So the real win total for the Raiders is 7.5. You want to play it under, minus 180. Wes, are in one of the toughest divisions in the NFL. You got to assume the Broncos are going to be better with Sean Payton as coach and Russell Wilson entering his second season and with the Broncos. Chargers, and of course the Chiefs, have dominated the division for years now with Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback. I've got to lean under 7.5 on the Raiders' win total. Even though it's minus 180, you can probably find a better price out there somewhere else. If Jimmy Garoppolo is injured at some point, the Raiders are going to be in big trouble with quarterback.
There was some nervous laughter from that media availability, I felt, from Josh McDaniels, because if you look at what is now there on the Raiders roster at quarterback, no Jarrett Stidham, by the way, but he is no longer a member of the Las Vegas
with the Broncos.
Raiders. Yeah, he's with the Broncos. And look, I thought Jarrett Stidham late in the season actually played pretty solid. I'm not saying he needed to be the answer at starting quarterback, but certainly you could have used him in the system because I believe the depth chart consists of Brian Hoyer, Chase Garbers, the former Cal quarterback, and Aiden O'Connell was the one that they picked up in the draft.
Fourth round.
Yeah, in the fourth round. So maybe some potential down the line. But, man, that's a pretty bare cupboard without Jimmy Garoppolo if he is not able to be available. Josh Jacobs, of course, unrestricted free agent, but I believe did get the franchise tag at running back. So, look, you got to think the Raiders should be able to run the ball. And I actually do like the receiving core that they have with Devontae Adams, with Hunter Renfrow. Philip Dorsett, very familiar with working with Josh McDaniels, certainly in New England. So, you know, and they picked up Jacoby Myers as well. But I like the receiving core, but who's going to be throwing them the ball? And Josh McDaniels, look, what is he going to say? Like, oh, my God, we're in so much trouble. I mean, he's not going to say that, but there was some very nervous laughter there.
Brian Hoyer, by the way, who right now you'd think is the number two quarterback, he's got an 11-game losing streak as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Garbers hasn't played.
I saw him lose a start in Indianapolis.
Chase Garbers not going to be your guy. So Aiden O'Connell is interesting because Josh McDaniels, Dave Ziegler, the GM, they really like O'Connell. And they see a lot of Tom Brady in him. And, you know, you'd never want to make that leap in terms of a comparison. The rookie fourth-round pick and Tom Brady, a 7-time Super Bowl winner. But when you look at the way they move, a lot of their characteristics, Wes, I can see the similarities and why Josh McDaniels likes O'Connell. But is he ready to step in and win games as a rookie if he has to? If you're not going to go, if Jimmy
right.
G's injured, you probably don't want to go with Brian Hoyer.
No.
You're going to say, hey, let's put this guy in there and see if he could be our future, talking about O'Connell, the fourth-round pick.
Yeah, I would think that would be your option because Chase Garbers, by the way, he was with the organization at least last year, but, you know, pretty much a practice squad player, got promoted to the active roster at the end of the year, so I would think if you want to get a look at somebody, you would want to get a look at O'Connell.
And, you know, O'Connell's got a lot of big game experience, had two really successful seasons as a starter at Purdue.
He threw the ball a lot, though, because Brom had him throw till his arm fell off.
Brom loves him, recommended him. I know Josh McDaniels loves him. Michael Lombardi's talked about how much they like Aiden O'Connell, if he's going to step in. But I guess the bigger picture here is, Wes, the win total at DraftKings for the Raiders, 7.5. The under has already been bet from minus 150 to minus 180.
Well, look, I mean, if you believe in momentum in terms of a schedule, look at that schedule to start out. A division game on the road at Denver. I know they won against them last year. Then you got to go to Buffalo. Then you got the Steelers coming in. You know the Steelers, at least defensively, are going to be very good. They always are. At the Chargers, Packers at home, Patriots. That's not the easiest slate
in that first quadrant
there. So. Yeah, and then you got to go on the road back-to-back Chicago and the Lions, who are projected to win the North. So you don't necessarily have a lot of gimme games. And I believe you got a few primetime games because of Las Vegas. Got that Thursday night game. Then you got to play in Kansas City on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is that's a very tough schedule. Would you look at Now, would you lay the bigger vig if you hadn't done it already?
I haven't done it already.
Or would you lay or go under a game? Like, I think on win totals, you got to be willing to lay some vig. You know, sometimes you got to lay $180 or $2 on something. It makes that much of a difference, and that game is that valuable. If 7.5 disappeared, would you go under 6.5?
No.
Or under 7?
No. Well, maybe 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 7.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders are going to have some problems here. And if Jimmy Garoppolo is not healthy, he's got the foot injury, I don't know how many games you could count on him to play, then they could have some big problems. They went from 10-7 to 6-11, made the switch from Derek Carr to Jimmy G. He's got the foot injury. A lot of question marks behind him at quarterback. And now the schedule, man, I think it's tough. All right, let's just talk about the home game. Steelers, Packers, Patriots, Giants, Jets, Chiefs, Vikings, Chargers, Broncos.
A lot of primetime games here in Las Vegas.
You know what's good about this schedule, too? Like you said, the Raiders got some primetime games. If you live in Vegas and you want to see the Raiders, you want to fly into Vegas to see some games. How about Thursday night football against the Chargers, week 15? How about Monday night football? That's a game at Detroit, Raiders at Lions.
They do get the Packers at home on Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night, a home game against the Packers in week 5. Two Sunday night home games against the Steelers in week 3 and the Jets in week 10 and Aaron Rodgers. And then a Christmas game at Kansas City, but some high-profile games on the schedule. I look at this, Wes. I'm going to ask you, how many soft spots do you see on this 17-game schedule for the Raiders? I really can't find one.
Yeah,
you can say maybe the Bears, but that's in Chicago. And maybe the Colts, that's in Indianapolis.
And that's still going on the road, yeah. You know. So, yeah, not a lot of gimme games, especially that home, by the way. And Mark Davis, for all of his complaints about, oh, we got too many road fans coming in here. Well, get used to it, Mr. Davis, because you're going to get a lot of Steeler fans here. You're going to get a lot of Packer fans. They have fans everywhere. Mm-hmm. So those are big travel teams that will come in here. I remember the season finale last year, the week after when the Raiders were officially eliminated from the playoffs. That thing had to be about 70% Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't really care about that. I don't want to hear about Mark Davis's.
Oh, I'm just saying that he's going to continue to say it because he knew what it was going to be too.
Well, that's
you
not,
knew that
not
this
necessarily,
was
not necessarily the case. And here's the deal: when your team's not winning and you have the highest priced tickets in the NFL, the fans are going to sell them, and the road fans are going to buy it.
Exactly what I'm saying.
But if the Raiders have a winning team that's contending for those, all those fans are not going to be selling their tickets away to the visiting.
Yeah, he's got to understand this is a
new, win.
This is a new professional sports market, not a new sports market, but in terms of professional team sports, this is a new market. And these people, and this is a town with a lot of people from different areas of the country and different parts of the world, they want to come out and see a winner. And the Raiders haven't been giving it to them.
Wes, if you're holding a season ticket in week 14 and you paid the highest price in the NFL for your tickets, are you going to try to sell that to a Vikings fan, or are you going to go out and say, oh, I'm going to watch the Raiders team that's five games under 500?
I'd rather get some money for some Christmas
presents.
That's right.
You're going to sell your tickets and try to make back some of the expense you paid preseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the team is losing, you're probably going to sell your ticket.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why Mark
Davis, there
may
be some opportunities this year looking at that schedule.
I don't want to hear Mark Davis complain about that if the team is losing. By the way, the win total at the Westgate Superbook for the Raiders are already down to 7. Minus 110 both ways. DraftKings, 7.5. I would look under on the Raiders. Quick break. We come back. We'll talk golf betting next.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, from Las Vegas, we're back. And Wes, wrap up what we're talking about with the Las Vegas Raiders. So I'm working on the VSiN Pro Football Betting Guide, our preseason magazine, let's put it that way. And I'm previewing the AFC West and NFC East. I'm working on the AFC West right now, and I've got to recommend under 7.5 on the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And that underprice has been bet up from -150 to -180 at DraftKings. Westgate Superbook is at 7 on the Raiders. I'm going to shop around. I have not bet that yet, but if I can find a better price than -180, I'd prefer to play under 7.5 in that win total. But you can play under 7, too. It's not the difference between a win or a loss.
Yeah.
That's the difference between a win or a push, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but I am willing to lay juice on these win totals.
I bet
you know,
you'd
I
love,
did so last year.
Oh, I'm like you, too. So I'll let you talk about your philosophy there. But on a win total like this, I'd love to be able to bet under 8 on the Raiders.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. If you could find it. And look, as we get further, and some might already have them out, you're going to get alternate win totals as well. So, you know, you, at some places, you're just dead to the number that they have. And if you want to bet it there, that's what you got to do. But there are some places, I know DraftKings will do it a little bit too, where you'll have alternate win totals. Now, you're going to pay heavy big, like, you know, 8 would be awesome, but you're probably laying 2.25, mm-hmm. you know, at 8. So, you know, typically, I don't really like to say, okay, I won't ever lay more than this number, because I don't like to, you know, deal in absolutes right. necessarily in sports betting. I think that that's a mistake. But I usually don't like to go over $2. I usually don't like to do that on a win total. It's either, you know, play the better number at a half game less or just pass altogether.
All right, so that's a little NFL betting talk, and our Pro Football Betting Guide is going to be out at the end of June. So about 4 weeks away. Get ready for that if you're a VSiN subscriber or thinking
about it.
Look
at you getting on it already, and I'm Mr. Procrastinator.
Well, you've been writing up golf every week too. You've got that to do.
I think we got some.
Well, you were writing up golf Monday. I was working on the NFL. So you do the most comprehensive golf write-ups of anybody in the sports betting
which,
media.
By the way, you can get at VSiN.com. Not always on the Twitter feed, but you can get it on the website. So, you know, be sure to read that. I usually work on that Monday and then finish it off Tuesday morning.
I see the Twitter feed for VSiN, a lot of stuff going out, college baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw Major League Baseball best bets. I didn't see the golf stuff come out.
No, I don't know. I'm starting to get a complex about it.
I don't know why you'd have a complex because you've hit winners and you hit a 100-1 shot last week.
And a 75-1 earlier in the first weekend of May. So, you know, we're doing pretty solid. Have 8 so far this year, 4 on the PGA Tour, 3 on the DP World Tour, 1 on the Asian Tour. It was a Saudi event that was an official Asian Tour event. So, my goal, Matt, every year is to like hit like one a month.
Have you ever had a live tour winner?
I have. It was the first event, actually.
Okay.
It was Charles Schwartzel last summer in London, and I haven't had one since. Now, I haven't played every single live event because sometimes you just run out of time with this stuff. But I took a poke at Bryson DeChambeau last week. He did not win. Harold Varner III was the winner of the live event in Washington, D.C.
Well, let's see if you can get a winner this week. Maybe I can get a winner this week. The Memorial Tournament, Dublin, Ohio. Justin Suh is the leader right now. S-U-H, his last name. Not a household name yet. Former USC player. 8 under par, 70 in the first round, 66 today. And Stephen Hennessy of Golf Digest, our guest handicapper on Wednesday night's show, recommended Justin Suh at 250-1 odds. Hennessy's got a bet on him. And Suh's got a one-stroke lead heading into Saturday. Hideki Matsuyama, one back. Patrick Cantlay, David Lipsky, each two back. You've got Rory. You've got Ricky Fowler. Those guys are 4 under right there in the hunt. I've got Jordan Spieth, who is 3 under. And that might be it.
My best gun right now, of course, is Hideki Matsuyama, who's the second choice on the board at plus 450. 7 under par, 65 bogey free round today for Matsuyama. And what I guess would be encouraging, because one of the things I always looked at with the strokes gained, and you know, I'm beating a dead horse here, but it's true every single week, putting has variance. Now, sometimes it won't vary round to round. Sometimes you'll just get hot for a certain week, but, Hideki Matsuyama, the approaches, the irons, they're back. 2.85 strokes gained per round, so almost a little less than 6 strokes gained with the irons. He is number 1, by the way, in the field for gaining with the irons. Patrick Cantlay. Now Patrick Cantlay, I think the reason why you're seeing him as the favorite, number 1, he's won here twice. And number 2, he's losing with the putter. He's lost almost a stroke combined in 2 rounds with the putter, and he's still only 1 off the lead. So Patrick Cantlay is the rightful favorite here at Memorial.
You know, I love horse for the course handicapping, and these are 2 horses for the course, Wes. Cantlay and Matsuyama, so no surprise to you, I'm
both
sure.
Both former winners here, yeah.
You had to see these guys at the top of the adjusted odds board headed to Saturday.
And then you see John Rahm. I know he's 4 back, but 4 back means nothing for John Rahm. This is a guy that does have a win here and should have a second one. Remember 2021, where he led by 6 strokes over 1 Patrick Cantlay after 54 holes on Saturday. He goes off the 18th green. They say he tested positive for COVID, and you could see the look on his face and the, oh, no, you know, covering his face that he had to withdraw. Cantlay eventually
got the victory.
Was
he covering his face, or was he?
He kind of had the, oh, no, like, you know, put his head in his hands and was obviously disappointed to not only to be sick, but to have to withdraw from a tournament.
I don't know if he was sick.
I mean, he might not have been sick, but he tested positive.
That didn't mean he was sick.
Yeah, I guess I guess if he was playing pretty damn good.
He
if
was
he was
6 strokes ahead of the field.
Imagine if he was well, he might have been up 10, right?
He was John Rahm was so sick, and he had a six-stroke lead.
Yeah. Okay. That was just, I remember, I think I was actually on air for that. I was like, hey, something's going on here.
Was he covering his face while he was cursing at the officials?
Yeah, I think after that, the initial disappointment.
Rahm bounced back big time because a month later, I was at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, and he won.
Mm-hmm.
That was about a month after.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I played him that year at Torrey Pines, because I was like, this is his vengeance. This is, you know, and he was still searching for his first major, by the way, at the time, but he had come close, and you felt it was like his time, and this was a little vengeance. Now, it wasn't easy. He had to come back. He had to make birdies at 17 and 18 at the U.S. Open on Sunday. Not many people do that. And then Louis Oosthuizen gave him a little present with an errant tee shot on 17.
Oh, he made, talking about Rombo, he made two big-time putts to win that U.S. Open. His charge on the back nine was spectacular.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm always worried here that he's lurking. I'm not necessarily going to add anything in terms of any outright exposure. I did consider Jordan Spieth last night. I didn't end up doing it. What is he now, 28?
Yeah. Don't bet him. Because okay. I got him at 42-1.
He didn't really make a move today.
He just played par golf.
Yeah.
He said even. And there were a lot of guys making moves, but not Jordan Spieth. I don't think he's going to win. I got him 42-1. Ricky Fowler is a guy who's got a shot. I really like the way he was playing today. Now, on the 16, on the par 3, his tee shot into the rough. Wes, he had a really difficult chip with not much of a landing area. And it looked like the best you're going to be able to do is maybe get that thing within 15 or 20 feet. Even Jack Nicklaus in the booth was like, wow, that's a hell of a shot. He chipped it within, I think, 10 feet, and nailed the putt for par. Great par save by Fowler on the 16th. And
right after he made eagle, by the way, a 72-footer on number 15, the par 5.
Fowler, I'll tell you what, I don't have to tell you this because you've been talking about him all year. He's on the rise. It's not going to surprise me if he wins or comes close to winning this tournament, but you can also find 100-1 on him at the U.S. Open right now, and I would say grab that. Because those 100-1s are going to disappear pretty soon.
Yeah, because he is not in the field, by the way, next week for the RBC Canadian Open. So that's the next chance you're going to have to bet him. Obviously, that price is going to get cut if he goes ahead and wins this week. So, you know, one more warm-up. God, it's hard to believe we're only like 2 weeks away from the U.S. Open, but here we are.
Los Angeles Country Club in 2 weeks, the U.S. Open.
And I've seen some people that took some trips and some flyover shots that this is going to be a very hype U.S. Open in terms of the course. That says, I've seen people say this is the best venue that we've had for the U.S. Really? Open or the PGA in like the last 15 or so years. So now I remember hearing that hype on Erin Hills, and that turned out to be one of the worst because that was an easy course in Wisconsin, but I think they're going to make this tough. And speaking of tough, I think these conditions at the Memorial are going to be tough this weekend. This was the moving day, essentially, where, you know, it played a lot easier. I don't think it's going to play that easy come tomorrow and Sunday.
Are you talking about pin placements or weather?
Pin placements, weather, you know, the rough is still thick, and the rough is giving these guys trouble. You know, it's very hard to get out of the rough. And like you said, Ricky Fowler did it and made par on that par 3, but That it's really difficult to do, and you've been seeing these guys, you know, when they get on rolls, they give strokes back. Rory McIlroy did it yesterday, took a triple on 18. If he just makes a par, he's at potentially at 7-under and right there off the lead.
All right, quick break. We'll update Cubs, Padres, Yankees, Dodgers when we come back.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and much more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and return on investment, and see which expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro Picks, Picks, Bledding Splits, Power Ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. That is VSiN.com /subscribe. And who's going to be the top expert maybe on that list, Matt Eumanns, is Stephen Hennessy if he hits that 250-1 shot on Justin Suh.
I don't know. Was that inputted on the VSiN.com?
I will have to check. I hope it was for his sake if he gets a winner.
Not sure it's on there, Wes.
Okay.
But Stephen Hennessy will benefit for his
He'll benefit in his pocketbook, which is what matters.
Bankroll is going to be even much bigger if Justin Suh can win that at 250-1 odds. All right. The good news for the Yankees, Josh Donaldson, Giancarlo Stanton, and their returns to the lineup, each homered for the Yankees tonight. The bad news, the Yankees trailed the Dodgers 7-2 after Luis Severino allowed 6 runs and 8 hits in the first inning tonight. Sevy got bombed. Dodgers lead the Yankees 7-2, bottom of the fifth. And Dodgers closed -135 in that range.
He settled in, though, and only gave up one more run, did give up 3 bombs tonight. Tommy Kahnle, by the way, we talked about the 2 runs for the Yankees, Gio Stanton and Josh Donaldson, each with solo shots. Tommy Kahnle, the 3rd player activated, so Yankees getting help in some middle relief here.
Were you trying to put a positive spin on Severino's start there?
I was.
All right, 4 innings, 7 runs. And he left after 83 pitches. Yeah, that first inning was a nightmare. But you're right, he settled down a little bit. Clayton Kershaw cruising right now. Did allow those 2 home runs. But Kershaw's got a 7-2 lead, and we are bottom of the fifth. Some bad news for the Padres, especially if you laid -170 on San Diego. Cubs lead 2-1, bottom of the sixth. The Padres did get on the board in the sixth. Xander Bogaerts infield single drove in Odor, and the Cubs had taken a 2-0 lead on Dansby Swanson's homer in the fifth inning. So big favorites tonight. Padres threatened to burn some more money, and they trail 2-1 in the sixth.
And also late action in Arizona. The Atlanta Braves have gotten 1 run to cut the deficit to 3-2. Charlie Morton gone through 7. He is still out there. 9 strikeouts for Charlie Morton, but he finds himself trailing. Eddie Rosario, both solo shots and both runs for the Atlanta Braves tonight. 3-2 D-backs. And then also last late game, bottom of the fifth. 2-2 right now. The Giants and the Orioles tied. The 100th splash hit was earlier, I believe, from Lamonte Wade with the solo shot tonight. Leadoff man on for the Giants, no outs.
All right, let's take a quick look at Saturday games and some of the pitching matchups. Even though the Yankees are getting hammered tonight, they're going to be the favorites on Saturday. Gerrit Cole, the starter against Michael Grove for the Dodgers. Wes, in 16 innings, Michael Grove has allowed 21 hits and 7 walks. He's got an ERA of 8.44 and a whip of 1.75. Gerrit Cole comes in pretty good form, even though he's allowed 8 home runs in 73 innings. Cole and the Yankees are going to be the favorites in Game 2 in this series in L.A.
Yeah, they certainly are. 135 is the opener, seeing some 130, so a little bit of money on the home underdog here with Gerrit Cole being favored on the road. So not exactly a surprise. We don't have the lineups here, so more than likely won't get anything on that until tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'm not going to have a play on this. You always want to see how the night games wrap up before you're going to play something on Saturday, typically. Drew Smyly is going to go for the Yankees against Yu Darvish. What are you seeing for an opener on this game? Because Darvish got knocked around in his last start. I don't like the way he's pitching right now. And Drew Smyly is a lefty for the Cubs. I like the back in the right spot. Smiley's got a whip of 1.05, which is strong, over 60 innings. And
I'm seeing some -170 out there with the Padres.
I might play the Cubs in that spot.
Yeah, there are some 170. Actually, -175 at BetMGM. That's a market high, but a different split. The highest you can get, you could still get some 155 on the Chicago Cubs here in the market.
I might play the Cubs as big dogs in that game. Be interesting to see how that one turns out tonight in San Diego. But Darvish, in his last start against the Yankees, 2 2/3 innings, 7 earned runs.
Mm-hmm.
Previous start against the Nationals in Washington, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. That was a solid start, not spectacular.
Yeah.
Previous start to that on May 17th against the Royals, 5 1/3 innings, 4 earned runs. Yu Darvish is not pitching like an ace right now, but he's priced like it, and that's when you have to look at an underdog, especially if you like the pitcher on the other side, and I do kind of like Drew Smyly.
Yeah, that's that is a big number for the Padres. Sometimes that would make me almost want to lay it, though, where it's like, you know, maybe this is the buy low spot, but still.
The Padres have been consistently
overpriced. I can't trust this team right now. Wes, that's the thing. I just can't trust them.
Biggest money burners in baseball right now.
Yeah.
Consistently overpriced favorites, and Yu Darvish being priced like an ace, but not pitching like it.
Right. So
San Diego minus 170?
Yeah, I would almost, if you were going to play the Padres, you know, play some kind of like pitcher prop instead, where you're going to lay a lot less big. You know, and if the pitcher pitches well, then you're probably at least going to cash that prop. So that'd be the only way I'd attack the Padres.
I don't know if I'm going to play the Cubs or not, but I'd kind of like to see the Padres come back and win tonight's game.
Mm-hmm.
That would make me like the Cubs a little bit better tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Padres are not playing good baseball right now, but they're priced as one of the best teams in baseball. Orioles and Giants in San Francisco. Right now it's tied 2-2 in the fifth. Kyle Bradish against Alex Cobb. That's going to be the pitching matchup on Saturday in San Francisco. And also want to mention the Braves and D-backs on Saturday. Spencer Strider against Ryne Nelson. And
I like Spencer Strider, but that's a big price on the road against a team that's been playing
$2?
Pretty good baseball. Yes.
Braves minus 200?
Yes.
Can't lay that. You know what? Spencer Strider's not in a groove right now.
He has regressed a little bit the last couple starts.
He hasn't had his A game the past two or three starts.
Yeah, so I don't know if I necessarily want to lay that. Another interesting one, Berríos against Tyler McGill. By the way, the Blue Jays do get the win tonight, 3-0. Verlander actually, you know, looked pretty solid, mm-hmm. I think, in the start. We know he'd been kind of disappointed since he returned from that surgery, but I believe went 6 innings, so gave him a quality start, but the Blue Jays did get the win 3-0. Jose Berríos looks like he really struggled his first few starts of the year, but he looks like he's kind of come around a little bit. He is a small favorite at Citi Field tomorrow.
All right, going back to Spencer Strider for the Braves, he's become one of the elite pitchers in MLB in terms of starters. Strider, in his last three starts, has gone 17 total innings and allowed 4 home runs. And, Wes, he's lucky it's not 5 because your guy, Kyle Schwarber, was robbed of a homer on Sunday mm-hmm. Night Baseball. Mm-hmm. That was with Spencer Strider on the mound.
Yeah, and Kyle Schwarber, by the way, he goes 2-for-5 tonight, but not enough. The Philadelphia Phillies, by the way, I believe we're down 7-1. They tie it up, but the Nats win in the eighth. So the Nats over the Phillies tonight, 8-7. Not a very good outing for Zach Wheeler tonight. We'll see. Matt Strom, by the way, I believe we did have a pitching change tomorrow for that Philadelphia-Washington game. Matt Strom against Mackenzie Gore. Strom has kind of been in and out of the rotation, you know, played a little middle relief. Philadelphia Phillies, man, they're not playing good ball right now, 25-31.
I don't think they've been playing very good ball in many stretches at all this season.
No, they haven't. And look, I know you're down Hoskins, which you have been all year, but, you know, you got Bryce back, and this team should be better. Trey Turner has been the real disappointment. They've moved him actually down the lineup. He hit fifth tonight. He was hitting leadoff or in the two hole pretty much most of the season.
Eventually, Trey Turner is going to hit. He's too good.
Yeah, right. It's been a struggle, though, and when you struggle in Philadelphia, they let you hear about it.
He took the money and went to Philly, so he's got to put up with it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the price you pay.
Dodgers lead the Yankees 7-2, bottom of the fifth. D-backs over the Braves 3-2, bottom of the eighth. Cubs 2-1 over the Padres, top of the seventh. Orioles, Giants tied at 2. I think we're going to the sixth now.
I think Dean Kramer got out of that jam with the double play.
Okay. All right, Wes. Also, since we talked about earlier in the show, the Las Vegas Aces did hold on to win, right? But you got the cover?
It did get the cover. Nice job by the Atlanta Dream. They could have went away. One game pending right now in the WNBA, 70-69. LA Sparks over the Phoenix Mercury. Phoenix 3.5-point favorites at the close.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show. When we come back after this quick break, we're going to talk NBA Finals Game 2, look ahead to Sunday night, and Stanley Cup Final Game 1 Saturday night in Vegas. Come back here in a couple minutes on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA, and new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonuses instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. So, Wes, let's keep it in the association talk. NBA Finals Game 2. Sunday night, this is going to be a good one. Will the Miami Heat have an answer after trailing by as many as 24 points and losing by 11 in Game 1? The Nuggets got the win. They deserve to get the cover. They were laying 9 in Game 1. In Game 2, the number's 8.5. The total has dropped from 218.5, the closer here at Circus Sports, to 215.5. I think we both agree with that move on the adjustment due. But are you necessarily going to bet the under? Are you going to bet the underdog? What are you thinking here? And when you look ahead to Sunday night?
I kind of like the over, even though it's lost a little value. Look, by the way, it can come back. Still a couple days or before that game is going to get played. But I'm interested to just see, you know, because most of my action is going to be player props in the in this series instead of just necessarily your basic sides or totals or team totals, what have you. But I'm interested to see if this Bam Adebayo resurgence here is real, because I was on the over 16.5 in game one. Now you're seeing 18.5, and he had 26 and points and 13 rebounds. Also took 25 field goal attempts, though. By the way, I was just looking that up. That is the most field goal attempts he has ever taken in a game.
Bam is it Adebayo. Really?
So now I'm thinking, man, boy, when you have like the most, because that's sometimes what you got to do when you're pivoting on these player props game to games in this series. It's like when you have something like that, it was very similar to what Caleb Martin had against the Boston Celtics in game sixes and seven of the Eastern Conference Finals. I think he combined for like 25 rebounds. I think he rebounded him like Dennis Rodman. And, you know, he's not going to continue to do that. And he only had four last night, goes under his total of 6.5. So that's what you got to look at. But I want to see how much Jimmy Butler can rebound. He's going to have to rebound a lot from only scoring 13. That was his low, by the way, of the postseason. He only took 14 shots, though, because, you know, he's trying to set up. He set up Bam on some nice give and goes, but this is tough for Jimmy Butler because he's not really a three-point shooter.
Right.
You know, he's a mid-range, you know, or score in the paint type of guy. So I don't know if it was necessarily his ankle or if it was something that Denver did defensively. But we know that this is a tough matchup just on size. That's why I think it was tough for Caleb Martin to get a lot of rebounds last night, because rebounding against Tatum, Brown, and Horford is a lot different than rebounding against Jokic, Porter Jr., and Aaron Gordon. They are taller guys, so that's a very tall front line. So that's why you saw those guys really struggle on the glass. I want to see, you know, what Jimmy Butler can do, if they can even, in fact, get him going. I think you're going to see at least the three-point shooting rebound for the Miami Heat, and there's a lot of guys that need to rebound. Gabe Vincent, I think, did his part from three, but nothing from Strus, nothing from Caleb Martin, nothing from Duncan Robinson. So you're going to need something from those guys, or this is going to be a very short series.
I still think this series got a chance to go six games. I do like the Nuggets. Nuggets are going to win this, I think, in five or six. You would think the Heat, their best shot to get a win is going to be game three. But I think they can get another random game here. Here's the thing, Wes, we've talked about this before. You just mentioned the three ball. If the Heat get hot from three, they can get a couple games in this series. Now, they were 13 for 39 from three in game one. I think that number lies a little bit because they were so bad in the first three quarters. They hit a couple threes late to make that number look a little bit better, right?
But yeah.
When you're talking about Caleb Martin, Marcell Strus, and Duncan Robinson, those three players who were so important for the Heat in that game against the series against the Celtics, they combined to shoot 2 for 23 in game one. Jimmy Butler had only 13 points, but he was deferring a lot on the offensive end. Like you said, Bam Adebayo carried a big load for the Heat offensively. I know he's not a guy who's a high-volume shooter, but I didn't realize that was the most field goal attempts he'd ever had in his career in a game.
Yeah, because, look, Jokic, I mean, he can defend at the rim, but he's not great necessarily at it. You know, Bam was able to get what he wanted, I think, down low, because they don't want Jokic to get in foul trouble. Remember, he did it a couple times in the Lakers series. So, you know, you want to keep him out on the floor as much as possible. But another key I think I'm looking for is to see what Miami does defensively. Because if you look, the Nuggets had a layup line at the rim. They were 32 of 52, 62% on twos. So does Miami overreact, and do they try to, like, double the post or double the elbow when Jokic gets that ball? But you've got the best passing big man in the league, maybe one of the best of all time. So would Miami be better served, I think, staying home on the shooters? You know, staying home on Porter Jr., who I think is going to regress to the positive. He went 2 for 11, but he had plenty of looks. I think it was two and a half was his three-point prop. Same thing this time around. So do you stay home on the shooters and then just say, okay, Jokic may score 40 on us, but that may give us a better chance to win because that means he's not playing his full game. We're forcing him to be exclusively a scorer and not necessarily a dish man out there.
So you're going to look to attack some player props here. I got to think that Michael Porter Jr. is going to shoot better than 2 for 11 from three, and the Heat's going to get better games out of The guys we talked about.
Struess was 0 of 9 from 3, but he's a career 37.1% shooter from out there.
A lot of those were open looks. Struess, yeah. Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson, those guys are good shooters, and they were missing wide open looks.
They got to get to the foul line, though, I will say that. Only two, lowest ever in postseason history.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. Their offensive philosophy is going to change. I think they're going to attack a lot more. And typically, when you attack the basket, good things happen on the offensive end. You're going to attack the rim, you're going to draw fouls, go to the free throw line, or you will attack and you're going to open up the floor, and you're also going to create open looks for three-point shooters when you do attack the rim more.
Miami, by the way, was second in the NBA in free throw percentage. Jimmy Butler, if you look at just the playoffs, he's averaging 9.1 attempts per game from the foul line. And the only two that they got were from Haywood Highsmith, who I do think I do think he's going to play a little bit more because he did give them some scoring punch, got them a little run. They got within single digits there with a few minutes left to go, and then Denver stretched it out to 14, and it's like, okay, that's done. But Highsmith probably did the best defensive job of anybody on Jokic because we saw Cody Zeller struggled at times. Bam, I don't think he's really a good defensive matchup against Jokic, so you got to switch defenders on the guy as much as you have. But it wasn't that just Miami's offense. It was the fact that Denver didn't foul. Denver only fouled 8 times. That was the fewest fouls in a playoff game by any team since 1951.
Sure.
So when you're not fouling, now being that as May, they got kind of lucky in the fact that, you know, because you're not fouling, because you're giving Miami so many open threes, what did Miami have, like a 39 attempts in game one.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving it, you know, it's like maybe you're daring them to beat you shooting. I got to think that Denver's got to at least somewhat close out better on shooters for game two.
After such a pathetic offensive performance by the Heat in game one, I'm inclined to think the Heat are going to play much better here and play them in, maybe in the first quarter, first half, maybe take the points for the game. But is that playing with fire, Wes? I'm not sure if I want to play the Heat again. I like the Nuggets so much to win this series.
Yeah.
But I got to think the Heat are going to come up big here in a couple spots.
And Doug Kazarian was on with us last night, of course, at ESPN Daily Wager. And he was saying, look, now Miami for game two, they will have been out in Denver for 6 days.
Sure.
So maybe they're used to the altitude, not just from playing, but just being out there and, you know, and in different type of weather. So, that is something to take into account. That's why I think you're going to get a better start out of the Miami Heat. So that's why I think first quarter and or first half certainly makes sense. But
I'm thinking that way. Hey, in the final 2 minutes, let's and check the VSIN Pro Picks page. Wes Reynolds, we'll have a bunch of stuff up for the weekend. Wes, let's take a quick look here and wrap up the show. Stanley Cup Final Game 1 right here at Circus Sports. Vegas Golden Knights -129 in Game 1. The series price -114. DraftKings got -130 on the Knights, so everything right there in the same range. Saturday night, T-Mobile Arena, game one of this championship series. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, you know, Randy McKay might have talked me into a play. Randy McKay and, of course, Frank Betty. That first period under actually makes a lot of sense now that I think about it, because you have a Florida Panthers team that has not played since Wednesday the 24th. So, 10 days. And then VGK, they last played on Monday night where they closed out Dallas in 6 games. So there's 5 days. So, you know, you may see, okay, it's a feeling out process. You know, it's kind of like the first couple rounds of a boxing match where, you know, you're not going hellfire and brimstone necessarily. It's like, okay, let's just play good defense. Let's not take penalties. Let's not get the other team on the power play. Mm-hmm. And you could see a 0-0 after a period.
It could be a boring first period. I agree with that. On the flip side, like Randy McKay mentioned, you might also have chaos. You never know.
Yeah, totals are hard. But I do think, based on what Randy said earlier in the program,
I would lean more towards
this is going to be more of an under series. You're going to have more unders than overs, I would believe, in this series.
I think so, too. Thanks to Mike Palm, the VP here at Circa in the D, and Randy McKay, professional sports bettor out of North Dakota, joining us on tonight's show. For Wes Reynolds, Matt Eumanns, Greg Hoops Peterson.
Coming up next.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.